talking about something that affects so many people, but that nobody wants to talk about: pornography. Speaking to individuals trying to stop looking at porn and to spouses looking for support.
This is Danny and Lindsay Pullman, a married couple who have been through this together. We're sharing a mix of our personal experiences, our experience as certified life coaches, and other empowering ideas.
We hope this can help you on your journey.
Enjoy!
Hi everybody, this is Danny and Lindsay Pullman.
What's going on?
Good to be here today. Had a great run outside, beautiful place today with my new running shoes that I'm really excited about. How are you doing today, Lindsay?
Doing great. I went to the beach this morning with my kids. I'm getting over a cold, but just being outside, I swear, is so healing. So we went to the beach this morning while Danny was on his run. It was awesome.
Love the beach. I love being out in nature. Okay, so before we dive in, I was just going to share a little personal experience from this past month. I got an email, and I'm not going to go into details of where this came from, who sent it, but it was one of those, maybe you can relate, maybe you've had a conversation or someone said something, or maybe you've gotten an email or a message that just kind of stung, and that, you know, in the past, sometimes, like, something like this would have, like, floored me, and I would have been maybe even out of commission for a few days, I don't know,
or
like,
weeks.
Maybe even weeks, and anyway, you know, those tough conversations or interactions with people, and so I got one of those, and yeah, at first I had all sorts of feelings come up, and I wanted to blame the email for what was going on, blame what the person was saying. That was, you know, kind of had that moment. But I also wanted to work through it and own my side of things. And so what I've been doing is I do self-coaching almost every day with myself, and a lot of writing involved, and using a lot of the tools that I've learned and that we teach with our clients, and that we're teaching in this podcast too. And so I would read the email, and then I'd write what feelings were coming up and thoughts and what's going on, and I'd work through it. I'd try to get more intentional about where I wanted to head it in my mind with it. And it just, that sting, even though it's still been with me all along over the past month or a few weeks, it started lessening when I did this, okay? So then I'd go back and I'd read it again, and I'd write what came up again and coach through it again, and it would lessen a bit more, and then I'd go back and read it again. And anyway, what I could have done is just avoided all this and tried to just not think about it and avoid the person and just kind of hope the feelings all went away, you know, like, and just say, you know what, this person's being difficult and I don't want to deal with this. But what I chose to do is let it be a really good learning opportunity for me to work through some of my stuff and actually find out how I can improve my relationship with myself even more and take that to the next level. So even though it's been really hard and challenging for me, it's also been an awesome experience. And I'm starting to get where I want to get with it. So just wanted to share that.
Yeah, I've had those experiences where, like, an email or a phone conversation, like, I would get, like, physically sick after and, like, almost need to leave work because of things. And so, and I said work just because maybe I happened to read a work email. But, yeah, like, it's not work work-related stuff for me, but just I've had those experiences where I've been, like, kind of knocked out by an email or a conversation, but that was pre-coaching. And post-coaching, it's amazing how just a different perspective can make a huge difference.
Yeah, this stuff really works and is helping me handle it in ways where I can actually move forward now instead of just getting stuck or moving backwards even in the past. Not that I don't still do that sometimes, but it happens. Okay, so today we're talking about why should she get help, okay? A lot of times we
don't want to get help. Just kidding.
You know, people come to us, and we were the same way. Like, let's get my stuff figured out. Let's help him learn how to not look at porn. And,
his problem.
And then everything will get better once he does figure this out.
And go back to normal again.
And he's the one that needs the help, not her, right? Like, she'll be fine as long as he gets the help. And people come to us with the same kind of mentality, right? Maybe you can relate. But we're going to talk about why she might also want to get help for herself. And it's not that she needs help or should get help, right? It's more about what does she want for her. And the only person that gets to decide if you need help is you, right?
Right.
But if you find yourself wanting things to be different than they are for you and you're not getting there, then maybe you could use some help, right? And this coaching really does work. It just does. There's part of me that thought, you know what, Lindsay should be the main person that speaks to this issue. Maybe because she's the one in that position, the wife of the person who was looking at porn. And maybe I shouldn't be the one saying that you ladies could use some help. It was part of me that was like, maybe I shouldn't speak to that. But you know what? This stuff works, and it works for anybody that wants to own their own stuff, be empowered, and move forward in their life. It just does. And I did a blog post on my website called "You May Be Surprised What a Year of Coaching Did for Me." And that's like one of my testaments of just how this has worked for me. And I think it works for anyone that wants to make it work. So
yeah, anything you want in your life and you don't have, like a lot of it is just mindset work. So you might think it's because the husband's looking at porn or whatnot. And, but there's so much, like, I think we forget that we really are in the driver's seat of our experience.
Yeah. So what I was going to ask you, Lindsay, and you can dive into this, is what are some examples of situations that people are in, that women are in when they come to you? Like, what are they stuck on? What's happening? Where are they getting stuck?
Yeah, oh, that's a great question. So I would say, you know, out of my clients, 2/3 of them, I do marriage coaching, and I would say maybe 1/2 to 2/3 of them come to me because of their, you know, certain coping behaviors of their spouse, whether it's pornography or weed or prescription painkillers or all things. And so, you know, they might come to me and just kind of want that to change. And so that's something that people struggle with when they come to me, is like their husband's behavior. And so that's what we work from. But when we really dig beneath that, there's usually a lot of, you know, figuring out your own truth, figuring yourself out, figuring out how to add value to your own life, and just like continuing to build yourself into the person you want to be. And so that's kind of where we really focus. And so, you know, a lot of women will come to me, whether or not their husbands are coping with like quote unquote addictive behaviors or not. They usually feel like, you know, they're not in a creative space like they used to be. They're afraid to dream. And so that's something that we work on too, is just like really digging into that self-acceptance, that self-trust, building on your self-confidence, and helping you continue to evolve and build yourself into more of like who you want to be. Giving yourself permission to dream.
Yeah, with dreams, like, do they struggle being in touch with allowing themselves to want things or know what they want in their life ever?
Yeah, they do. I mean, it comes in so many different ways. With some women, it's with intimacy stuff. Like, they, you know, they have just from, like, their perception of cultural stuff that they've been taught, you know, they don't want to talk about, you know, what they want on an intimate level with their spouses. So there's that too. But also just like, you know, some people want to have a hobby and they're afraid to do that, or, you know, anything. It's like, I think a lot of times we think as mothers, like our children become our lives and that becomes our identity. But we can have an identity as a mother who has hobbies and uses that creative space and be a mother at the same time that's wholly and fully invested, and it's not an either or
scenario. I like that. A lot of times I think people think that their wants will get in the way of them being a great mom or a great wife, or right. But actually what we're talking about today, after you leave listening this podcast, you might be convinced that it's quite the opposite, that you actually can show up better as the wife and mother and person you want to be if you do get in touch with those things that you want, right?
I think so, because I noticed myself suppressing a lot of that before before coaching. And, you know, even now I just see myself, I'm definitely not perfect, but I've grown so much and I am so much more present with my kids. And it doesn't mean I'm with them all day, every day, but the quality of time when I am with them, I feel like is so much higher, and it's all because of my brain and my perception of my experience.
That's awesome. So tell us, like, where can people get with this if they do get help?
Yeah,
and
okay.
And where have you gotten, and what do you want to tell us?
All right, so when Danny first came to me with his porn stuff, we were like, he told me he had a problem and he wanted to get professional help. And, you know, you can go look at that listen to that podcast episode where I talk more about it. But for a really long time, I just thought, like, this is his problem. We need to just fix him so he can get back to normal and be earning six figures again and all the things. Because within a week of him telling me about his pornography use, some non-functioning anxiety and depression and, you know, childhood trauma kind of remanifested itself, and he was not functioning for a while. And so it was so easy to just focus on his survival. And, you know, looking back, maybe that's exactly how it needed to be. I just, like, wanted my husband to stay alive. And that was it. Like, keep him alive, okay? But then when things stabilized a little bit, and I mean, it wasn't like as extreme as I might say that. So, you know, but there was like that survival thing. Like, we wanted to just make sure he was alive and help him find the meds and all the things and start functioning again. And then when things started stabilizing, it was just really easy to focus on him. Okay, now he's stable. Let's help him get the meds so he can be functioning and he can go back to work and all the things. And I will tell you guys, it is so easy to focus on someone else's recovery than to your own, right? And I remember people telling me, like, oh, there's these support programs for women and spouses of, you know, people who look at pornography and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, why? Why should we have to do any of that crap? Like, that's just, that's not fair. Like, I'm not looking at porn. Why should I have to go through any of that? That's literally what I was thinking. But I did finally take some advice from a really good friend, and I decided to go to therapy, and I got a lot of validation, and I got like my first glimpse into, you know, processing emotions and being present with negative emotions and processing grief. My therapist helped me process grief a lot. And I think one of the biggest things I learned from my therapist, well, there's so much, she's amazing. But I also just learned more about human behavior and, you know, certain familial relationships and things like that. So it was really educational. But then I remember getting to this point where I was just like, I've accepted that this is my reality, but it's not enough. Like, I need more. Like, I need more. And I remember just kind of like hinging everything on whether I perceived that my husband was getting better. So, you know, was he exercising? Was he going to therapy regularly? Was he going to 12 steps meetings? How was his video game usage? Like, was he playing for 10 hours a day or 6 hours a day or 2 hours a day? Like, I was letting all of these things, just like my perception of what he was doing, totally affect my mood and how I thought, you know, things should be. And it was like, it was just really hard because there's no control over, like, I literally don't have control over him, yet I was letting all of his actions determine how I was doing. And I think sometimes, like, if you look, you know, let's say you're like watching a movie or reading a book, and like you see all these things happening, and you obviously can't change a movie while you're watching it, and you can't change a book while you're reading it, and you just feel so hopeless. You're like, no, like, this is gonna happen, and it feels really like hopeless or hard, but you're still like, you have to watch it through. I think sometimes in our own lives, we think we're in the passenger seat, and our lives are happening to us and just coming at us, and we're just really reactive, but really, we've always been in the driver's seat, and it's just a matter of like turning off that autopilot or that cruise control and like making things happen and carving out like our own journey and our own experience of life to make it what we want it to be. So that's where
how you said that.
Yeah, that's where, so that is where coaching comes in, you guys. And it's been everything, like everything.
I got some good truth bumps while you were just saying that. That was awesome.
We call goosebumps truth bumps. So when Danny hears like truth, he gets like physically gets goosebumps on his body. I have two friends that do that too. And so I call them truth bumps.
Yeah, I don't remember where I heard that from. I didn't invent that term, but I like it. Wish I invented it. It's so cool. I remember, first of all, I remember you putting a lot of weight in what I was doing to recover. And it felt, I already had a major microscope on myself, but I could also tell Lindsay had a microscope on me. And I remember it was, you know, it didn't necessarily, help, right? Even though I'm responsible for me and my choices, it didn't necessarily help to have, her doing that. And, but then I had been doing 12 steps in therapy. I'd been learning a lot, working a lot on this stuff and making a lot of progress, but I was still stuck. And I remember watching Lindsay transform through finding life coaching, and she started just by listening to podcasts like what you're doing right now, and then she started using some of the tools on herself, and then she went and got some training and some coaching, and oh my gosh, like I saw her change right before my eyes in these ways where she just had more light in her life. She had more power, more confidence, this forward movement that was really inspiring to me. And I had been resistant to look into the life coaching stuff she had been using. But once I started seeing this, I was like, I need to find out more. And so watching her do that for herself really inspired me to get what ultimately ended up becoming one of the most helpful things I found to get me unstuck with my stuff. So I'm so grateful for that she did that. And then along with that, the changes that she's made to her approach in our relationship, even though, like I said, I'm responsible for me and my side, it's made such a difference for me. It gave me a little more space to work through my stuff. And then I think Lindsay, she learned to love me unconditionally before I learned to love myself unconditionally. And I'll just tell you that that has been one of the sweetest experiences of my entire life that I am so grateful for. And I can't even put it in words how much it means to me. And she helped me learn how to love myself in ways that helped me take things to the next level. I'm really so sweet. So grateful. Anyway, what would you like to add, Linz?
Well, thanks for sharing that, because I do love you unconditionally. So anyway,
we're both crying a little bit.
Yeah. No, it's amazing, and like, all of it is through our brains and our minds and what we're choosing to think and believe and how we're choosing to experience our reality. And so just know that, like, if you don't believe it's possible to change your marriage, like, you can change and transform your relationship even if you're the only one that does this work, you know? And so that's the thing too, is like, I started looking inward and not needing him to change, and that got him to a place where he was like, huh, what is it that she knows? And I have other friends whose same thing, kind of the same thing has happened, is like they go through life coaching and then the husbands are like, whoa, like, what is it what is it that she knows that I don't know? And so, it's amazing. So some of the things, you know, I talk about like how coaching, you know, helped me with regard to like my husband's pornography stuff. Like, it really helped me with like acceptance of my body. And I think, you know, at first when I found out he was looking at pornography, it brought up all these old like beliefs I had about my physical body that I just kind of like shoved aside and like hid in the back of a closet or something like that. And it kind of like brought all of that to the surface. And so it wasn't like it, there were these new beliefs created. It was like all the work I had never done kind of came to the surface. And so sometimes we think it's because of the porn or because of what the husband's doing. But a lot of times what I think it does is it brings to surface these beliefs that we've already had and helps us to become more aware, brings them to our consciousness again, you know, and then we can choose to work through them or not work through them. So I, you know, it's really interesting because I was with a bunch of life coaches like a few months ago, and they were just like, well, what, you know, what was the hardest part? What did you learn through all of this? And it was really interesting because like I would have never said this 4 or 5 years ago, but like my husband's particular coping behavior helped accelerate the acceptance of my physical body more than any other trial or anything that I've ever gone through, because it brought all of that to the surface. And it's not the same for everybody. Like, you know, someone else might look at pornography and it might bring up money issues or something like that. But for me specifically, like that helped me work through a lot of my acceptance stuff more quickly than I would have ever done.
What did you tell him? You said I had, for me, it had to be porn or something.
Oh no.
Well, what was it?
So I had the thought while I was telling them, I was just like, oh, it needed to be porn.
It needed to be porn.
Which, yeah. You know, you don't need to think that when your husband is looking at porn, but I just think like, you know, we're put on this earth and God knows beforehand what we're going to go through. He knows what we all need to learn in a unique way. And we have so much agency with regard to things. But like, you know, if my husband didn't have a porn problem, I would have learned, I do believe I would have learned all this like body acceptance stuff. But what I think happened is like, instead of me learning it between the ages of 30 and 50, you know, I was able to do most of that work between the ages of like 32 and 35. Does that kind of make sense? So it accelerated the learning of my acceptance. And I think that's what we forget about our trials, and what can be amazing about the hard things is it accelerates our learning and it accelerates our growth. So yeah.
There's... Well, you're welcome. I'm just kidding.
Oh boy. So, I mean, and if that feels like really sensitive to you, you can just discount it. You don't need to like think about it the way we're thinking about that. And I would never want husbands to be telling their wives like, no, this is
for your benefit.
No. That's not how it is. But I just, with, you know, with all the hindsight perspective that I have, I can say that. But if someone would have told me that 3 years ago, I might have like slapped him in the face. So, yeah. Or maybe punched him in the face.
And it's totally fine to feel that way.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah. So anyway, but the big thing is it just, it really accelerated that for me. And then, you know, with the pornography thing too, like there's normally a lot of hypervigilance that spouses feel, and like insomnia that, you know, we go through when we're kind of in like that state of a little bit of trauma. And so I learned how to like work through my trauma and become less vigilant about my husband's behavior and not worry as much, because I think what we forget is we can accept that things happen, especially things out of our control. And accepting that our husbands look at pornography or have looked doesn't mean that we're condoning it. And so getting to a place where I could accept that it happens or that it did happen really helped me to have like the clarity, the clear mindset that I had when he would look. And I didn't feel like that urge to check his phone or that urge to check his like his iPad history or things like that. And so it's really natural, I think, for women to want to start controlling more when they find out what their husbands have been doing. But the thing is, it's like, if your husband wants to look at porn, he's going to find a way. So
yeah. Well, and if you think that's the source of your pain, then of course you're going to get really serious about trying to eliminate it and stop it or control it. Right.
Right.
But then when you, like you said, when you start realizing the source of your pain is something inside your own mind and you start working through that, then suddenly it doesn't, him looking at porn doesn't have all that power that it did before, that you thought it did. And you have all the power, and then you don't have to get all, it's not about eliminating that as much as, how do I want to think about this that helps me best right now?
Right, because the thing is, like, if you really think about it, like, his pornography use was not a problem to me until I learned of it, and then I added my own language to it, right? Because I know women, if they found out their husbands looked at porn, they'd be like, who cares? Like, that's what people, you know, whatever it is they want to think, they wouldn't care. But the language that I added to it with my thinking, with what it meant, was all from my own brain. And so it became a problem because I decided it was a problem. Does that make sense? So.
Yeah, okay. like so it's kind of evidence. Like, if me looking at porn actually is what created pain for you, then you would have been experiencing pain every time I had ever looked at porn in that moment of me looking at porn, right?
Yeah.
But what you're saying is, like, once you knew about it and were able to start having thoughts about it, that's mm-hmm. where the pain started happening for you, right?
Yeah. And I will say, this might get a little bit woo for people, but, like, I have had clients or friends that have said almost like their bodies knew before they knew. And I think there can be truth to that too.
Yeah.
So sure. there was a woman who told me, she's like, it's like my body knew my husband was lying to me before I knew. And so it's just kind of an interesting thing.
I will attest to bodies being able to do that.
Yeah.
My body did the same thing for me with my PTSD stuff.
Yeah. Our bodies are so amazing. So anyway, I think with regard to porn, like that, those are some pieces and parts of how coaching has been like really helpful for me. And it just has helped me see that like I was always in the driver's seat. And no, I didn't handle everything perfectly, but in a way, I kind of did handle things perfectly with the capacity that I had at the time. So those are like the pornography, maybe like related reasons why, you know, coaching has helped me a lot. It helped me just see how much power I have with my mind. And then I wanted to talk about something really important too. And I think sometimes we think we just need to get a coach for the porn stuff or a coach for our weight problems or a coach for this. But I think sometimes we forget all of the insane positive externalities that come from coaching, because the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. So if you're getting help on one specific thing and you think it's going to be like compartmentalized and only help that one little part of your life, it's just, that's not how it is. So that's the amazing thing.
I'm shaking my head right now in agreement.
So that's like the amazing thing is like when you're getting help on anything, you're in a way getting help with everything. Okay. So I might have gotten a coach to help me with like my, you know, with my issues about how I thought about my husband and how he wasn't, you know, quote unquote, providing for the family the way I thought he should. And he wasn't getting better fast enough and all the things. And the clear mindset that I had through that, like, helped me be so much more productive at work because I wasn't thinking about other things. I was focused on my work. And so I've noticed so many different things, like my work productivity and things like that have gotten so much better because of coaching. And it's just amazing. So some of the positive externalities I want to talk about, why coaching has helped me. We did talk a little bit about parenting, so I just feel like I'm so much more present. And the thing too is like I think when we think about present parenting, we think of like the mom playing with the kids at the playground and everybody's laughing and giggling. But it's not always that way, right? So present parenting means I'm also present with the pain too and the hard days and, you know, the days where you envision like this beautiful family walk and everyone comes home and like three-fifths of our family is crying. Maybe all the kids are crying on the outside and me and Danny are crying on the inside. But like I'm just more able and capable to be present with those experiences and just feel them out, even though they're not always gorgeous and glamorous, but I get to like experience all of it. So because if I numb out the negative part of parenting with a drink or something like that, I mean, I don't drink wine, but like, so I guess with sugar or candy, whatever it is, if I numb out with that, then I'm also numbing out the effects of like the joyful side of parenting as well. So more present with parenting for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. And another thing is I just take better care of myself. So I don't judge myself if I get sick. I don't like ignore my needs as much as I used to. So that's kind of big. And I've.
That's huge. It's, not just kind of big.
It's huge. It really is huge. And also, you guys, I'm going to be straight up with you. I don't get sick like I used to. It's insane. Like, I get sick so much less than I used to. And I think there's some mindset stuff that has to do with that too. So, wow. And yeah,
that's like, a cool benefit.
It's amazing. And some of the huge mindset guys that I look up to, they said the same thing, like they haven't gotten colds in like 7 or 8 years. So anyway, I noticed I can like say yes to things I want to do, even with kids. So it's not about once my kids are out of the house, then I'll start singing again, or then I'll take guitar lessons, or then, you know, my husband and I will go to France or things like that. It's like you can say yes to hobbies even with little kids, and you don't have to feel guilt, because guilt is an emotion that we feel based on how we're thinking. So, and what, you know, if that's something that you do struggle with, like start figuring out what your beliefs are about motherhood and be willing to kind of like challenge those a little. You know, mothers should always be with their kids all day, every day. Like says who?
Or mothers should always say yes to playing with dolls with their kids, or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I think,
like if I'm a good mother, I'd say yes.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I was plenty busy before I was working. And even while I'm working, I just feel like you can find your own balance, and it's going to be your own unique balance that you find. So whether you're working or not working, you can still take time for yourself to have some hobbies and do things for yourself, you know? And I want my kids to see that I'm interested in biking, or that I like to go out with my friends, and that I have that too, you know? So there's something there. Another thing that's been huge is like I've just been willing to invest in myself. So I've noticed, you know, I have friends or, you know, potential clients who are really afraid to invest in themselves because, oh, I'm not working. If I was working, then I know I could use the money that I bring in to pay for coaching, or to pay for, you know, that trip to Europe, or to pay for these lessons that I want. But I'm not working. So I just want to tell you ladies, you are a provider just as much as your spouse.
Absolutely. I remember when you did the coaching training and you told me how much it cost, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, are we sure we want to spend that much money on it? But then after seeing, like I talked about already, those transformations in her life, it's like, oh my gosh, like what a steal. Yeah, it felt like a lot of money, and maybe it was a lot of money, but man, was that worth it.
Yeah, like the quality of life post-coaching, pre versus post-coaching, is like, I don't even know if I could put a number on it. Yeah. Because it's so transformational. So it's like paying a little sum of money to change the trajectory of your life forever. And, you know, I have friends who, you know, they did a little coaching program 4 years ago, and they're still using those tools, and they're still able to do their self-coaching, and it's awesome. And it's all because they are willing to invest in themselves. And I will tell you guys, like, I have husbands of my clients who, like my present or past clients, who have like sought me out and just been like, thank you so much for what you're doing to help my wife. Because I think sometimes we're like, we think our husbands don't want to pay for that either, or our husbands don't, you know, want to spend money on like that. But a lot of times they do. Like, they want you to be happy, and people are willing, like, you know, it's like people are willing to invest in so many things. We'll invest in cars and beautiful houses and things like that. But like, if we don't know how to channel our own happiness with our thinking, can we even enjoy the experience of driving that fun car, or the experience of a vacation in a gorgeous place, when all we're thinking about is why our husband didn't do this, or why that person sent me that email, or things like that? So it's almost just like paying money to guarantee you being willing to be more present with your life, and know and have that like certainty that you can process emotions, negative emotions, when they come, because those are still going to come too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you want to add any other things, or do you want to lead into this last part here?
Well, so there's like so many things, you guys. I feel like I could go on forever.
What I did want to say, I mean, yeah, I think it might be good for husbands to hear that too, that like it is so worth it to get her help too and spend the money on it. It is so worth it. And it might even benefit you in some ways you don't even expect, if you're looking at it just from that standpoint too. But Lindsay's, she hired another coach for herself just recently, and mm-hmm. she's still doing it. And that was another, you know, healthy sized investment. But it's, it's totally paying off. She's finding more growth and transformations, and it's so cool to watch. I love I love you how you are, however you want to be, but it's also cool to just see the things you're able to do and what you're getting done.
Yeah, and it's like I love feeling like in control of like my situation enough where I can like make these decisions. And you know, every couple is different. Some people, like, they decide they want coaching, and then they're like, but I need to, I'm just going to check in with my husband so he knows that this is what I'm doing. And for other people who are like, I'm in, I'm all the way in, and I'll just, like, let him know as a courtesy. And I think my style has been more let him know as a courtesy because I signed up for coach training without even telling you.
Yeah. Well, and how empowering has that been for you?
It's been great.
To do that and realize, like, you know what? I get to make my own decisions. I know I'm married, but
I also get to make my own decisions. Yeah, and it wasn't like I was hiding it from you. It was just like, he would probably want me to. I'm just telling him as a courtesy, but I needed to sign up by a certain time, and it was...
Yeah, and I was totally against it, I'm sure that we could have worked something out, you know?
Yeah, but... Yeah, but I think the thing is, was like, when you know what the impact of something can be in your life, like, you move mountains to make it happen. Like, I've seen people, you know, borrow money from parents or, you know, whatever it is, you know, some people will like even, you know, it's like they'll like cash out part of their 401k, which to some people just sounds insane and ludicrous. But like, if you think about the positive externalities, like how much more work you can get done, how much more effective you can be, how much more, you know, even the trajectory of your career can change just from like having a clear mindset. It's just like, it's, I don't think there's anything you can invest in more than your mind that has an effect, that will have a better effect on your life.
Yes.
So just real quick, a few things other, I'm sorry, I get like, I just love all this stuff, but like a few other things I want to talk about. Hopefully this isn't getting too long. We can cut this episode in half if we need to.
It's good stuff.
I trust my gut more than I ever have. So I can make a decision, take action, think critically. I can, you know, even when like I pray to Heavenly Father, like, I pray to him with my decision made instead of just going to him in confusion. And I don't think there's anything wrong with either way, but I've just noticed I get more answers when I make a decision beforehand. And so I don't need to go and just be like, I don't know, what should I do? You know what I mean? It's like I have found through my experience, like with prayer, that when I make a decision beforehand, then I tell Heavenly Father to intervene if it's wrong. And I've totally had that happen. Like the summer I met Danny, I was planning to go to BYU Hawaii. I'd had everything like laid out. Like I'd done my interviews, and I think I like got whatever notes I got, like accepted to BYU Hawaii. And like, that was the decision I made. And Heavenly Father said, no. Like I just remember one night, it was really clear to me that I shouldn't go, and I didn't. And that ended up being the summer that I met my husband.
Thank you, God.
But it all happened because I was making decisions. So making decisions and then letting Heavenly Father, for me, that's kind of more my style, but everybody gets to do it differently. But that's, I just have really learned to trust my gut, and making decisions and taking action has helped me to trust it even more.
So powerful. That's where we have a lot of power, is with our decision making.
Yeah. And taking action too. It's like, we can decide we want to like lose weight, but if we don't take action, then we don't really figure out how to make that happen and what works and what doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something that I learned through coaching and something I'm fine-tuning more and more. Another big thing, if you go back to like our manual episode that we did, you know, coaching helped me see the manual that I had for my husband, this instruction guide for how I wanted him to behave. But I think on an even deeper level is it helped me see the manual that I had for myself and see what expectations, like just completely like unrealistic expectations I had for myself and for like my body and how I should be as a wife and a human. And it helped me like look at those beliefs and that I had about myself. And it's helped me to keep the ones that I like and also just get rid of the ones I don't like or dismantle those ones. So it's almost just like a matter of like trying on a belief like you would an outfit and being like, huh, how does this feel? Feel pretty horrible, you know? So it's helped me in that way, just look more inwards.
Just for your reference, the episode with the manual is episode 5. It's called We Don't Need to Fix Him to Feel Better.
The other thing that I've learned through coaching, another thing is that marriage doesn't have to be complicated. And also, addiction is not a forever thing. So, like, if you have a therapist that, like, tells you that, or just a human that, I don't know why I said therapist, but if someone tells you that, you know, this is always going to be something you guys struggle with, they're always going to be, you know, tempted by alcohol or weed or pornography, like that's just, it's now your lot that you have in life. That is absolutely not true. You can decondition your desire for something if that's what you want. And your marriage, it doesn't always have to be a problem. And I was told that by people and by professionals when I started getting help, and it's just not true.
Yeah.
It's really not true. So just something to keep that in mind. And marriage doesn't have to be complicated. That's just something we tell ourselves in our brain, and then our brain finds evidence to make that true. So I'm just trying to make sure I have a little, like, some bullet points. I've noticed I have so much more compassion for other people in my life and so much less judgment for other human behavior. I catch myself a lot earlier if I start entering, like, a fear cycle or a thought loop or things like that, so I can get out of things more quickly, which kind of goes back to Danny's email story.
That awareness is so powerful.
So awareness is everything. I'm so much more educated than I've ever been on mental illness, and it all started to support my spouse, because that's easier, you guys, focusing on other people. But what it's helped me do is connect enough with my coaching has helped me connect with myself enough to recognize when I feel physical sensations of anxiety or depression, which is really interesting. I think I had somebody tell me that there might be a little bit of depression going on when I was kind of going through all this stuff. And I was just like, what? Like, that's not me. You know, I don't get depressed, but coaching has kind of helped me see that that is something that I can feel sometimes. And I can just be aware and be an observer and not judge myself if I ever feel that way. And then the other thing too is, so I have two more things. I found my tribe. So coaching has helped me live in a space where I'm vulnerable and authentic. And when I'm living that way, my people find me and I find my people. I feel like, you know, it's like your vibe. What do they say? Your vibe attracts your tribe or something like that. I think there's like a term like that.
I like it.
And I just know who my true friends are. Like, I know who my people are that I can depend on. And the thing is too, it's like, I know I'm not for everybody, right? As I grew into this more authentic, confident version of myself, there are certain friends I have that just don't really care about me anymore. And that's totally fine. Like, it's totally fine because I'm not for everybody. Just like, you know, a lot of people like peaches, but not everybody likes peaches, and that's totally okay. So that's just kind of something to keep in mind, because I think sometimes when we develop a new mindset or new capacities to believe and think differently, we can get alarmed because we're so worried about being part of a pack, you know, because, like, biologically, you know, you're supposed to be with a tribe or be with a pack of people because it used to mean death if you weren't. You know, we live in an age now where it actually doesn't mean death if you lose a friend or two along the way, you know, because whatever you're losing, you might gain more of. You're going to gain more people who love you for who you are authentically, because as we're growing into who we want to be, we're becoming more, like, it's almost like our true selves are coming out more, coming through the surface more than ever. And so those people that want to be your friends, as you're becoming more of who you are, they love you for who you truly are and not who you're trying to be. And then the last thing too is coaching has helped me. I mean, there's so many things, but the last thing I'm going to talk about is, instead of just, like, showing up in my life, which has been really good, I've gotten to this phase where I just want to be all in and, like, alive. So it's helped me just feel more alive than ever. And so, you know, I've kind of gone all in and been doing that and experiencing life to the fullest. And I like to think that I'm just trending in a way where I'm going to feel more and more that way. So, yeah, like, do you want to feel more alive? Because if you do, I know somebody. I know a few people that can help you out.
Lindsay's so good. She's coached me a lot of times, and only if I want it. If I don't want it, it's kind of annoying, right? So we have to tell each other, like, I don't want coaching right now. But when I do want it, she is so awesome. She has so much value to offer, and she's helped me a ton. So to sum up from today, a lot of you women might think that you need your husband to get help in order for things to be better for you, right? And but what we've talked about and what we've seen from particularly what Lindsay's shared is, what if you getting help for you is the best way you can help not only him but you too, right? It sounds so nice and kind of lovely and pretty to like be like, no, but I want him to get help, you know. It kind of sounds nice, but like Lindsay said, it's just so much easier to do that sometimes than to look at what we can do for ourselves. And
right, and I think, yeah, it's like those intentions, because when I used to think that way, my intentions were really pure, like, no, like all our resources go to him. But I think that's because I wasn't aware of like I think sometimes we forget, like, we are a human. And pain is pain, whether you are coping with addictive behaviors or you're supporting someone with mental illness or you're supporting someone with coping behaviors, whatever it is, like, pain is pain. And we don't need to, like, just make these decisions like, oh, his is more or this is more. And so it's, you know, being willing to, like, love yourself enough to make that happen. And also, like, learning these skills has helped so much in parenting. Like, it's been a huge thing too. So Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, so just like my email experience I shared from the beginning, the best way that I can help that relationship is to work on me. And I remember when this clicked for me that the best way for me to show up in a relationship, it doesn't actually come with me, from me, like, trying to, like, step aside or take the blame or fall on the sword or suppress myself, get them help first before me. I've actually found that I show up the way I want to and so much better and more loving in my relationships with other people when I start with loving myself unconditionally. And that's what we have to offer to you today, is sometimes the very best and most loving thing you can do for the people you love most in your life is to get the help for yourself that you could use to help you take things to the next level with your life, your relationship with yourself, and your empowerment. I love this question to end with. This is one I like to ask myself regularly, is how can I make myself a priority so that I have more to give others?
So good.
So that's how we're going to end it for you. We're so glad you joined us today.
You guys are awesome. Have a wonderful day. If you have questions, you know where to find us. You'll see everything in show notes.
That's
right. If you need some help, you are the one that knows if you need some help or if you want some help. Make it happen, my friends.
All right. Until next time, guys.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.
If you're ready to get unstuck, move forward, or just feel better about your life and marriage, please reach out to us, whether it's for both of you or just yourself. You'd be surprised how much progress can be made in your marriage even if one of you works on the relationship. Don't wait for someone else to make things better for you.
For more information or to find out what it would be like to have a coach, visit our websites, lindsaypullman.com and dannypullman.com. Make sure you spell Pullman, P-O-E-L-M-A-N. For freebies or other guides mentioned, check out the show notes.
And to our current clients, we love you and thank you for letting us be a part of your hero's journey.